It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Oh boy, oh boy, hello, hello! Welcome! It is November 11th, 2021. Happy Singles Day, 11-11-2021. Well, thank you so much for tuning in. It is 1902 UTC, and we had a little heartbreaker there at the beginning. Thank you so much for being here and for hanging out. If you want to chat and party with us during the show, you can do that. All you have to do is SSH over to sdf.org. If you're not a member yet, that's a-okay. Just SSH over as new, N-E-W, at sdf.org, and you can join up pretty easy. Oh, I just ate lunch. Hold on. Sorry, I'm a little gassy. Had some Chinese food. Wasn't super great, but it was delivery, and that sometimes is worth the discomfort. Hello to those in comm. Hello, Ratsu and Ronald. Next one, thank you so much for being here. Hello. Shout out to Tobe and to Jazzmaz, wherever you are. Thank you so much for all you do. And SMJ, saw a few people in comm last night. It was pretty fun. DJ Butt Stuff had a great show last night. Super fun. So anyway, let's focus. It's time to go ahead and get started. We're going to do the show. And we gotta get started the way we almost always start, and that's with the world.
World news.
There we go. First, death. Always like to start with death. Hey, I'm Stoney. Hello. First death. Five members of a family killed in air raid on Syria's Idlib. Three children, aged 1, 2, and 8, were killed in a Russian air raid on a farm in Syria's northwest, say rescue workers. At least five members of the family have been killed and several other people wounded in Russian air raids in northwestern Syria, according to a witness and the Syrian Civil Defense. The Civil Defense, also known as the White Helmets, a group of volunteer rescuers operating in rebel-held areas of the country, said several air raids hit the Bruma farms north of Idlib on Thursday. As we mentioned, the dead include a couple and their two children and their cousin. That's 1, 2, and an 8-year-old. Hey, Publius, welcome. Okay, so they were agricultural laborers. Six others were wounded in the air raids on Thursday morning. Civil defense rescue worker Mohammed Sheikh Ahmad told Al Jazeera, it took about an hour to remove the dead from under the rubble, rush the wounded to the hospital, and evacuate the area. So, since June, they've struck civilian areas almost daily. Even areas considered relatively safe have not been spared. We have responded to over 700 attacks and documented over 150 people, of which 60 were children. Their raids came amid escalating tensions in the last rebel stronghold in Syria's northwest, where a truce reached in March last year has been repeatedly violated. Hey, X1 and Publius are good fun there. Russia's bombing Syria, helping the establishment there. The U.S. is bombing families other places. Happy Veterans Day. Boeing admits liability, or happy armistice day if you're not in the U.S., Boeing admits liability in 737 MAX crash in Ethiopia in 2019. Welcome, Handy C. This is pretty... I thought this was exciting because this was a big story that looked like it was going to get swept under the rug. Aircraft manufacturer Boeing has reached a settlement with the families of the victims of the 737 MAX crash that killed 157 people in Ethiopia in March of 2019. According to documents filed on Wednesday in a Chicago court, Boeing admitted liability for the accident. The documents don't mention specific amounts to be paid out to the families of the victims, but paves the way for the next stage of negotiation. Ethiopian Airlines Flight 302, heading to Nairobi, crashed in a field southwest of the capital 6 minutes after taking off. The accident led to the grounding of all 737 MAX aircraft and the worst crisis for the American aircraft manufacturer. The legal representatives of the families have described the agreement as historic and an important step for families looking for justice. Yeah. This is the software. These planes were grounded. Kind of good for Boeing. It was during COVID time, so not a lot of people were flying anyway. But the 737 MAX had a software glitch, and it would just basically nosedive into the ground, which isn't what you want. So that's good news there. In not really a big surprise, but since we've been following it, want to be sure and keep everybody up to date, the Sudan Army Chief names new Governing Sovereign Council, and guess who's in charge of this transitionary government? Sudan's Army Chief, General Abdel Fattah al-Burhan, that's right, the one who led the coup last month that removed the country's transitional government, has issued a decree for the formation of a new Governing Sovereign Council. State television reported on Thursday that al-Burhan would remain the head of the council, while Mohamed Hamdan Dagalo, the leader of the feared paramilitary Rapid Support Forces, who is also known as Hemeti, would keep his post as deputy. The development came more than 2 weeks after the army dissolved the body, together with the civilian cabinet led by Prime Minister Abdallah Hamdok, in a power grab that was swiftly condemned by the international community. So, the body served as the country's collective head of state, along with Hamdok's government, which ran Sudan's day-to-day affairs. al-Burhan and Dagalo have been due to hand over its leadership to civilians in the coming months. If you remember, Burhan has promised that no one that took part in the coup was going to lead the country after the transition. And we'll see what happens here. The announcement came amid national and international efforts to resolve the crisis in wake of the coup, which sparked mass pro-democracy protests and led the United Nations, Western countries, and Gulf states to call for the restoration of a civilian-led government. Reacting soon after al-Burhan's move on Thursday, a UN spokesman said the actions were very concerning, adding that Secretary General Antonio Guterres wants to see a return to the transition as quickly as possible. So, there's a lot more detail and stuff like that if you want to read it over there at Al Jazeera, but I think that's all the news that is to me there for that one. So, we talked about Armistice Day, or Veterans Day, and so I'm going to bring this up. Oh, hope you weren't grounded for too long, Handy C. France marks Armistice Day and pays tributes to the last French resistance fighter. President Emmanuel Macron today paid a final homage to Hubert Germain, the last French resistance hero recognized by Charles de Gaulle from World War II, who died last month. Macron led a special Armistice Day ceremony for Germain in central Paris before his body was interred in France's war memorial at Mount Valérien outside the French capital. France holds a ceremony every year at the Arc de Triomphe on Armistice Day, a public holiday to mark the armistice signed to end World War I. And, I don't know, I always... The French people and French politics, I may not always agree with, but man, there's just some things they do in France I really think are kind of neat, and stuff like this I think is cool. All right, honor your veterans. All right, as long as they're not out there killing children, I guess. All right, speaking of killing children, Belarus threatens to cut off gas to EU in a border row. Belarus's leader has threatened to cut off gas supplies to Europe if sanctions are imposed over an escalating migrant crisis at the border. Thousands of people are at the border with Poland, enduring freezing conditions in the hope of crossing into the European Union. Food! food is being mentioned in calm. Mm. Thousands EU officials have accused Belarus of provoking the crisis to undermine its security, an allegation it denies. In retaliation, the EU is reportedly planning a fresh package of sanctions, but on Thursday, the country's longtime authoritarian leader, Alexander Lukashenko, warned, "If they impose additional sanctions on us, we must respond. We are heating Europe, and they are threatening us," he said, referring to a Russian gas pipeline that runs through Belarus and into the EU. "And what if we halt natural gas supplies? Therefore, I would recommend the leadership of Poland, Lithuanians, and other empty-headed people to think before speaking," he added. There's a nice chart that shows there's a nice map that shows all the pipelines from Russia into Europe. And there was a very neat pipeline map. There was an interesting radio program I listened to recently that kind of talked about the rollout of these pipelines. Basically, from what I recall, Russia finds a whole bunch of natural gas and oil up in the north of the country, but they don't have any money. So what do? They're like, oh, let's make a deal. let's Soviet Russia and the West, U.S. and the West, make a deal so that they, the West will pay for the pipelines and Russia will then sell them fuel or whatever. So, yeah, it's kind of interesting. It all happened because OPEC didn't want to play ball. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, a gas embargo is going to cause quite a bit of trouble. So we'll see what happens. There are still lots of pipelines that go through the Ukraine and Turkey through the Baltic Sea, I guess. Excuse me. Anywho, so that's what's going on there in Belarus. There are thousands of people, men, women, children, the whole nine, at the border. They're all kind of freezing to death in the woods because no one knows how. Nord Stream. No one knows how these migrants have ended up in the forests along the border. But we're pretty sure, the world's pretty sure anyway, that Belarus has kind of guided them there, and then Poland's guarding the EU border. So we'll see how this plays out. It's going to be a little gnarly here. Let's get something positive, or at least lighthearted, you know? Up, up, and away! French daredevil breaks record for standing atop a hot air balloon. A 28-year-old French daredevil has smashed the world altitude record for standing on a hot air balloon after reaching 4,016 meters, or 13,175 feet, over western France. Dressed in a white astronaut suit, Remy Ouvrard performed the stunt for France's annual telethon charity event on Wednesday on top of a balloon piloted by his father. Ouvrard said the weather conditions were perfect for his exploit, and he broadcast a video of himself live on social media using a selfie stick during the early part of the flight. Frenchman, at 3,500 meters, he was told by his father to calm down because of the rapidly thinning oxygen, but he said he faced no discomfort from the cold at altitude because of the warm balloon below him. "I was boiling," he said afterwards. Ouvrard held the previous record set in 2019 of standing on a balloon at 1,217 meters. So, really, really high up there. Quite amazing. And the photos are pretty cool, too. So, I thought that was nice. Alright, we'll do a couple stories here. We got two stories, and then we'll play a song, because this guy's in our head.
Get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
You knew it was coming. Sorry, I'm a little phlegmed up from lunch. All right. Private rehabilitation center for drug addicts opens in Nigeria. In northern Nigeria, a private rehabilitation center for drug addicts is the first of its kind to open. The region has experienced a rise in drug-related mental health illnesses. Previously, authorities closed informal rehabilitation centers accused of abusing children. The government closed the traditional rehabilitation centers that have been operating before. So that was when the idea of bringing this new, innovative center is the first of its kind in this part of the country. We have 6 inpatients here, and there are other rooms for outpatients, which are still coming, and more inquiries are on the way, said Abubakar Muhammad Inouye, manager of the Amana Sanatorium. In conservative, mostly Muslim northern Nigeria, drug use and other activities are frowned upon in a region where Islamic Sharia law is applied alongside the country's federal laws. Yep. Sorry, Publius. It's true. I'm clogged up. Poor Nigerians often resort to traditional and faith-based healers to deal with mental health issues. Nigeria only has 250 trained psychiatrists for its 200 million population, according to the Association for Psychiatrists in Nigeria. Wow, can you imagine? Basically one psychiatrist for every 1 million people. Wow. Well, what else? Cape Town's homeless are waging a legal battle with the city. It's a stormy morning. Represented by Indifuna Ukwazi Law Center, a group last month won a court ruling that found the city was misusing its laws to criminalize the poor. We're not animals, we're human beings just like them, said an elderly woman with a limp who only gave her first name. In September, she was evicted and fined 300 rand, or $19, for blocking traffic by sleeping rough in District 6, a historic neighborhood that's synonymous with South Africa's history of forced relocations. Once a thriving mixed-race community, the apartheid government bulldozed much of District 6, declared it for whites only, and forced residents into townships on the other side of Table Mountain. The latest removals have revived memories of that dark past and forced the city to look at its modern reality. Richer and whiter neighborhoods with lush parks on one side of the mountain, poorer and browner townships plagued by gang violence on the other. So, this is interesting. I think that something that's easy to forget is just how recent all of the apartheid and everything else going on in South Africa is. A lot of civil rights history, you know, outside of the United States and in the U.S., it's like, if it happened before you were born, it's in the distant past, but really it's not, and there's a lot of people who were alive and still suffering from the effects of all sorts of terrible policies. Anyhow, that, my friends, is that. We gotta play a song because we're gonna need time to talk about space and other cool stuff like that. We're going to go ahead and play a song here in honor of the sanatorium. This is Everybody Knows That You Are Insane from Queens of the Stone Age. Thank you.
Anon Radio is your non-commercial, non-profit, member-supported underground radio station.
Powered by the SDF Public Access Unix System.
Oh, that's right. You're listening to Anon Radio powered by SDF, and SDF powered by you. Big surprise, right? Well, it's true. So, thank you so much for tuning in, and thanks for listening. So, let's go ahead and talk about... Sorry, I got my microphone cord, or my headset cord, stuck. Alright, let's go ahead and get talking about space. Oh, hold on, we gotta do this right. Space! There we go. Alright, so, first up, SpaceX has launched a rocket carrying four astronauts toward the ISS. A SpaceX rocket carrying four astronauts left Wednesday night, including the 600th person to reach space in 60 years. The launch, which had been delayed nearly 2 weeks, puts the one German and three U.S. astronauts at the International Space Station to begin a six-month stay. The launch comes just 2 days after SpaceX brought four station astronauts back to Earth. They should have been up there to welcome the station newcomers, but NASA and SpaceX decided to switch the order based on Monday's ideal recovery weather in the Gulf of Mexico. SpaceX has now launched three crews for NASA in the past 1.5 years. The September flight was chartered by a billionaire for himself and three others. So, they didn't mention it. They just mentioned that the four astronauts went up. So, not really sure. Four up, four down. Yeah, I think that they would bring them down. But the astronauts would have returned earlier, a couple days ago. We would have talked about it. Sorry. yeah, the ISS is like a shipping container in space. It's not huge. Calm is fun. Let's talk about the other space news. An asteroid near Earth is actually a chunk of the moon, scientists have announced. A near-Earth asteroid known as Kamo'oalewa might be made of a stray chunk of the moon, scientists have said. I'll put the name of the... go. Yep, Publius, it's a clown car in space. Kamo'oalewa is one of a mysterious and little understood set of objects called quasi-satellites. It's an asteroid that orbits around the Sun but remains close to the Earth. As with all objects of that type, Kamo'oalewa is difficult to observe. Though it is relatively close to Earth, it comes as close as 9 million miles away. It is also very faint, about 4 million times darker than the faintest star humans can see in the sky. Indeed, Kamo'oalewa can only be seen for a few weeks every April, and its small size means that scientists can only track it with one of the largest telescopes on Earth. When it was passing by, however, scientists did manage to examine the patterns in the light that came back from Kamo'oalewa, and what they found suggests that it might have a very familiar origin. So, very interesting. I think Candace, when they find these, there's a space observatory on Hawaii, and I think the ones that are in Hawaii have these Hawaiian names. So we need more space telescopes, for sure. Scientists don't know how it might have broken off from the moon. That is partly because Kamo'oalewa would be alone as an asteroid with lunar origins, and there is simply nothing else to compare it with. Another clue, the object's origin, is the way the asteroid moves around in space. Its orbit around the Sun is very similar to the Earth, but with a slight tilt. That is not like other near-Earth asteroids, but it might be expected of an object that came from the Moon. It's very unlikely that a garden-variety near-Earth asteroid would spontaneously move into a quasi-satellite orbit, said Renu Malhotra, a co-author on the study. It will remain in this particular orbit for not very long, only about 300 years, and we estimate that it arrived in this orbit about 500 years ago. So I thought that was really cool. heck yeah, Handy C. But this is kind of neat, and I just thought that was really cool. I wanted to be sure and mention it and talk about it. The rest of these stories will be kind of quick because we're running out of time. The dubious, well, hold on. The Dubious Goals Committee is coming up in just a few minutes. That's hosted by Tobe. And if you press the equal sign in comm, you can see the whole schedule. It includes pointing out that Language Soup with DJ Super Salad's coming up and Pumpkin Pie with Mr. Bruges tonight. So stick around. I guess my allergies are fighting me because I am, my permit to Flimtown has been stamped by the border guards. All right. Uber is sued by Justice Department for overcharging disabled people. The U.S. DOJ is suing ride-hailing app Uber over allegations it's been overcharging disabled people. The DOJ claims Uber's wait time fees are discriminating against disabled passengers who need more than 2 minutes to get into a car. It says Uber needs to comply with the ADA, but Uber said wait time fees were not intended to apply to disabled riders, and that it had been refunding fees. Kristen Clark, Assistant Attorney General for the DOJ's Civil Rights Division, said the lawsuit aimed to send a powerful message that Uber cannot penalize passengers with disabilities simply because they need more time to get into a car. Uber and other companies that provide transportation services must ensure equal access for all people, including those with disabilities. However, Uber said it disagreed that its policies were in violation of the ADA. Calm is fun. I'm so glad you're there. VK Red XYZ, welcome, welcome. Uber had a policy of refunding wait time fees for disabled riders when they alerted the firm they'd been charged. After a recent change last week, now any rider who certifies they're disabled will have the fees automatically waived. This kind of comes along earlier this year. Uber had to pay $1.1 million to a blind woman who was refused service by them. And just people with disabilities in general are really treated like pretty bad around the world and in the United States. Here's something to be afraid of. As COVID is receding in the U.S., a new worry has emerged: wildlife passing on the virus. A new study shows that deer can catch the virus from people, give it to other deer, and then give it back to people. As America's pandemic for now seems to be moving in a new phase with rates declining, wildlife can pass on the virus, so pretty scary. We're running out of time, so I'll just say Flint water crisis got a $626 million settlement for the lead poisoning victims, and a lower court determined that corporations can unintentionally discriminate against disabled people like CVS did. Please stick around for the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe. That's coming up in just a few seconds. Let's play some outro music.
ETC. Talk to you then.
Yeah! Dubious Goals Committee!